Good morning. My name is Donald Smith. I'm one of the pastors here at First Alliance Church, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a tremendous blessing it is to stand before you today. But may I say that just to be able to be in this place, to be able to open my eyes, be able to step out of bed, tremendous blessings that the Lord has poured out upon us. And you know, as I greet you and you greet me, and I respond when you ask me how am I doing, I say I'm doing better than I deserve. Let me say that I'm not doing as well as I'm going to be. The best is yet to come. And it's all because of someone whose name is Jesus. And we are beginning this Advent season dealing with the as we are preparing our hearts for the celebration of the birth of the Savior of the world. We begin today with talking about hope. It is hope that God has given us, and we are delighted that we can reflect upon that and know that his hope is real for us. When I was in the first or second grade, I don't remember exactly which, my teacher gave me a Christmas present, and it was a car. And I looked around at all of the other gifts that she'd given to the other boys, and I wanted what they had, and I don't know if I cried or what, but I ended up getting something similar to what the other boys had. I didn't realize that that gift of that car was a reflection of a special affection that she had toward me. Later on, my mother told me how disappointed the teacher was that I did not want the gift that she'd picked out just for me. There was only one of those cars, only one. All of the other gifts were either similar or the same that she was giving to the other children, but she had only one car. And she picked it out especially for me. God our Father has given to us a very special gift. And that gift is one of a kind. Sadly, many, as I did in that first or second grade, do not want the gift that God has for us. And so I want to begin this talk today with a couple of questions. Number one, what do you wish to receive for Christmas? The second question is, what do you reasonably expect? What is your reasonable hope to receive for Christmas? It's one thing to have a wish. It's another thing to have a firm assurance of what you're going to receive. And so at the outset of this message, let me ask you this question. Are you passing up God's greatest gift for you? If you die and go into eternity without God's greatest gift, you will spend eternity without ever having that gift. And here I am in my mid-70s, remembering that gift that was given to me way back then, but that gift is long gone. The memory lingers, but the gift is no longer available for me. If you go into eternity without that gift, you will remember the gift that was offered to you. The memory lingers, but the gift will be gone. And so my prayer for you is that if you've not received that gift, that you will not delay saying, Lord God, I want that gift. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to take charge of my life. I want the gift of salvation that he offers. There are many needs that we have in this world: food, clothing, shelter, health, and strength. But may I say that man's greatest gift is a personal relationship with the God of the universe, the creator of this world, who alone can guarantee our eternal well-being. He is the gift that God has given to us. And that gift in and only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ is what we're going to be talking about today. That is that gift of hope. There is no one else, only Jesus. We can only realize this by saying yes to Jesus. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Will you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful that you have set your love and affection upon us. Of your own will and volition, you determined to send your Son, Jesus Christ, out of eternity into the time, space, and history of man so that he could live a perfectly sinless life and become the sacrifice that would satisfy your justice on our behalf so that you would be free to forgive us of all of our sins without violating your own holiness. Only a good God would do that. And only an all-wise and all-powerful God could do that. This you have done for us. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit will speak to our hearts today. For those of us who already know you, Lord, may we rejoice all the more as we reflect upon the gift of your Son and the hope that comes only through him. May those who do not yet know you, Father, we pray that your Spirit will speak to them as only your Spirit can do, to open their eyes to see their utter hopelessness apart from your Son, Jesus Christ, and to say yes, to come in faith and repentance unto the Lord Jesus himself, so that they too might enter into a relationship with you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be dealing with primarily two texts today, but there will be a number of passages that we will deal with, Lord willing. Starting with Isaiah chapter 7, we see that God is offering a gift to a man by the name of Ahaz, and ultimately to the kingdom that he ruled. He was the king of Judah. And he found himself in what seemed to him to be a hopeless situation, and God was offering him a gift of hope. It was around 975, I may be a little bit off on the date, B.C., because of the sins of King Solomon, who was one of David's sons, or King David's son, the Lord divided the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 10 northern tribes became known as what is we call Israel, or sometimes Samaria. And the two southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin became known as Judah. Around 742 BC, or so over 230 years later, Israel had formed an alliance with Syria. And together they planned to invade and capture Judah and set up their own king and rule over them. But God said, "It ain't gonna happen." Now, when I was typing my notes out and my word processor had a little red squiggly line under that word ain't, and it suggested that I use instead isn't. But I'm telling you today, God said it ain't going to happen. It won't take place because I'm in charge here. I have your back. At that time, the king of Judah was Ahaz, as I mentioned, but although the people were living under the divine protection of God, King Ahaz had made a serious error. Instead of putting his trust in God and the protection that God and God only could God could provide. He sought protection from man to keep Judah safe from Israel and from Syria. And so he formed an unholy alliance with Assyria. So God sends the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz with a message. Come with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 7. Because I've given you already an introduction to that, let us begin with verse 3. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And say to him, be careful, be quiet. Do not fear, and do not let your heart faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands, at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in its, the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in the faith, you will not be firm at all. And so he says to him, this you must take to heart. And Isaiah said to him, again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The message from God to Ahaz was this: if you put your trust in me, I will take care of you. You don't need to worry about the threats that you've been receiving from these two peoples. As difficult as it may seem for you, all you need to do is put your trust in me. But Ahaz replied to God's offer with what appears on the surface to be a very pious response. But in reality, it was a lack of faith in God that caused him to say what he said. And here's what he said: but Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. The Lord didn't ask him. The Lord said, put your trust in me. You see, our salvation starts with God. It does not come with we all of a sudden realize we've got this situation going on in our lives and now we need God's help. God already knows what we need before the problem surfaces. Before the problem becomes real to our eyes, God already knows what we stand in need of, and God himself provides the answer to our need. So God was offering Ahaz what he needed. And because Ahaz responded in the way he did, Isaiah kind of looked away from Ahaz and said, now I will talk to the house of David. Here's one of the things we need to understand. God had promised King David that there will always be a man on the throne of David. And so here's what he says in verse 13 to Ahaz. Hear that, well, actually to the house of David. Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Again, God was offering Ahaz what he needed.
God also graciously gave Ahaz the opportunity to ask for a sign. And when Ahaz would not ask for the sign, God says, I'm going to do it anyway because I own this. God graciously gave the sign to them. Ahaz and the kingdom of Judah needed to be delivered. You and I needed deliverance from the hand of our enemy, from the kingdom of darkness. Our problem began all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Come with me with Genesis 3, 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took up its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. The devil convinced Eve that she could do better on her own without God. She looked at the tree and she saw that it was good for food. Pleasant to the eyes, a tree to make one wise. In other words, if I just eat of this fruit, you know, I can figure this out on my own. I can walk this road without the help of God. Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God has given to us His gift. He's given the gift not just to you and me, but to the whole world. And this is where we're going to tie in that, I call it a parallel passage in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. On the day which Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, there will be a momentary happiness for the material gifts that one may receive. For some, there will be great disappointment because the expectation of a particular gift was not fulfilled. In other words, their hope will have been dashed. But today, you who know the Lord Jesus Christ can celebrate the fact that no matter what we get or don't give under the Christmas tree, God has given to us his gift of hope, who is his son, Jesus Christ. The gift of hope that the world needs, and many do not know that they have that need. There have been times when I've asked members of my family to give me what they want for Christmas. In other words, give me your Christmas list, your wish list. When that question was put to me on occasion, I have asked for a new car. Not like the one that my first grade teacher gave me. You know, one that you actually park. Not that you sit in the driveway, but that you drive into the driveway. I've asked for that. And even though that's been my wish, reality said, okay, Donald, maybe you ought to bring it down for something a little bit more affordable. It is amazing how we wish for things that ultimately will not make us happy. When I think about so many times on Christmas morning, there is all of the excitement and the joy of unwrapping those Christmas presents. And then by sundown, those things are sitting somewhere over in the corner. Not next year, but on that very day, you've gone on and you've forgotten about those things that you received. But God gives us something that lasts for all of eternity. And so we want to talk about God's gift of hope. Unlike things that I wished for Christmas, that ultimately reality said that you can't really hope for that. Hope, that is God's hope, is happy, confident expectancy that something good is definitely going to happen. In the Bible, the word hope stands for both the act of hoping and the actual thing hoped for. We have been born into a living hope unto the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been born again, and our hope actually lives in us. He is the hope of glory, and we are in him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." We are certain. We don't have to wonder about it. We have the living hope. And we have the assurance that we're in Christ. Hope has reference to what is going to take place in the future. Genuine hope is not wishful thinking, but a firm assurance about the things that are still unseen and yet in the future. It is assurance. This is why we sing the song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. And ladies and gentlemen, we can sing that all day long, knowing that it's true. Amen? This hope that we have from God our Father in his Son, Jesus Christ, does not arise from the individual's desire or wishes, but from God, who himself is the believer's hope. "My hope is in Jesus," says the psalmist. "My hope is in you." This is not something that we have to dream up ourselves. This is God's gift to us. When we think about this gift of hope, it sets the Christians apart from the unbeliever who has no hope. I had the privilege of being part of a celebration of life for one of our own brothers, a part of this family, on yesterday. And it was indeed a celebration. How unlike some of the times I have had to officiate where the people really did not have any hope. They were mourning the loss of the loved one, but they, not only did they not have any hope for where the departed was going or had gone, but they had no hope within themselves. But what an awesome thing to be a part of this celebration where one after one was talking about the hope that our brother Gary has. And I speak in the present tense. You see, he still lives. He simply changed his address. And you and I have that blessed hope ourselves, that one day we too will change our address. And it will be for all of eternity. And we praise God for that. The Apostle Paul wrote to the saints at Thessalonica. to comfort one another with the words of hope. He talked about the resurrection. He talked about the fact that because of Christ, we have this hope. And we are to repeat the message of hope one to another. As a matter of fact, he says, encourage one another with these words. That because Christ has conquered the grave, because Christ has conquered sin, and because Christ has conquered death, and because we are in him, we too are more than conquerors in him. And we are to share that hope one with another. We sing about this. So many songs we sing in our Christian gatherings and in private, at home, and driving along the car, in our cars. We sing about the hope that we have. Now, we do understand that in this life, because our bodies have not yet been redeemed, we groan sometimes. We groan because there is pain in the body. We groan because we lose a loved one, not because, and one of the things that Paul talks about in the letter to the saints at Thessalonica, he does not say, do not sorrow. He says, don't sorrow as those who have no hope. You can't help but miss a loved one who departs this world. And you know, sometimes people come and say, you know, without even thinking, well, they're in a better place. We're not yet. But praise God, we're going. And because we are in Christ, we can have that assurance, and we do have that assurance that we will be with him in all of eternity. And so we have the aches and pains in this life, in this body. So we groan in this body. And yes, I groan a little bit here and there. Matter of fact, when I had surgery on my shoulder, and people were asking me how am I doing, I said, I'm doing pretty good. The pain is not too bad, but oh, wait until the therapy starts. You'll hear me all the way in your house. But praise God, I try to keep it low key. But the reality is that in this life, because our bodies have not yet been redeemed, we still suffer from the same things that the rest of the world deals with. The difference is that we know that this is not going to last forever. That one day we'll be in the presence of our Lord where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more dying, no more death, all because of the blessed hope that we have in Jesus. I want to invite the praise team to come back to the stage, please. We are celebrating this day. And the good news, ladies and gentlemen, is that we get to celebrate every day the gift of hope that we have in Christ Jesus. You see, when Jesus arose from the dead, we have been given the gift of life in him. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We did follow the devil. We were slaves to the enemy. But we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so we live with that blessed hope. We live that with that blessed assurance. And so although our bodies are decaying, and we groan over this, we live in hope because in Christ we live with the confidence that we shall be like him in his glorified body. We have the promise in Christ that will never fade away.